Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Gesterson, and tonight you're listening to Giving Thanks on Thanksgiving, a conversation with Michael Beatty.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots, and happy Thanksgiving. Hope you've had a great day and a great evening with friends and family, or if you're by yourself, I hope you've had a great time with Jesus. That's the easiest way. One thing to know is nobody is alone. We are always with God and always walking with God, and that's the beautiful thing. And in this very interesting time of year when we've had so much going on, this is really a time to give thanks and be grateful for all that we have. Just to start the show out real quick, mypillow.com/bards. mypillow.com/bards is our landing page on the MyPillow site. And with that, we've got a quick, your promo code over there is BARDS, and you can use it on any of the sites on MyPillow, My Store, and frankspeech.com. So we've got a quick message from Mike Lindell.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to announce the 96-hour live stream event on frankspeech.com. This is going to be historic. We're going to call it the Thanksathon. It's going to go from 12 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning to midnight on Sunday, November 28th. We're going to unpack the historic U.S. Supreme Court complaint on the 2020 election. And we're also going to be taking apart the biggest crime in history, the 2020 election. We'll be posting the schedule here on frankspeech.com, so keep checking back. This is going to be 96 hours of thanks, hope, and information that we're all going to need to get our country back. You can all do your part right now and let everyone you know to go to frankspeech.com and watch this 96-hour Thanksathon. Thank you and God bless.
So that's frankspeech.com. You can also use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, on frankspeech, as well as mypillow.com and mystore.com. Patriots, also Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com is your place for the strongest, best Patriot coffee out there, designed for this warrior. The warrior's in this fight, keeps your head focused, give you that good boost of caffeine in the morning, sustains your energy through the entire day. Also, while you're on the site of expeditioncoffee.com, that's X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com, check out the other supplement sets. There's a whole system that's laid out there, from the Expedition Coffee to the Gut Health Triad to heal and seal your gut, to the Immune XP to boost your immune system, to Earth, which is a whole body supplement formula, and the Pure 47, which is the purest nanotech silver on the market. It has the ability to actually go after and isolate many of the diseases and sorts of things that they're trying to throw at us and keep us sick. So again, expeditioncoffee.com. And the last thing, just to remind you of, we have this great thing going on right now with the Founders Bible. If you go to thefoundersbible.com, use your BARDS code, B-A-R-D-S, you'll get 20% off buying a Founders Bible. Great thing to get for Christmas, especially since it's printed in the good old U.S. of A. One of the only Bibles it is, by the way. Okay, so tonight we have Michael Beatty, also known as Miguel California. He's a musician. He's a powerful voice in faith, just a great human being all the way around. Michael was at Bard's Fest. He played and did some great prayers there as well, prayers and playing, which was really good. And I got to know him quite a bit there. Matter of fact, I didn't know him before Bard's Fest. Got to know him and really came to appreciate what's in his heart. And I just thought we'd have a good conversation today on this day of Thanksgiving for us, he and I, to just reflect on our relationship with God and all that there is in this world to think about, reflect on, and be grateful for. So without further ado, let me bring on Michael Beatty, a.k.a. Miguelifornia. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Patriots. And I'm just really pleased to have Michael Beatty on today, who you all know, I hope you know, from Bard's Fest and his amazing performances that he did there, and just his music and his dedication to Christ and his gospel worship that he does. In fact, he started a morning show, which is fantastic. And so I just thought there wasn't just a great voice to bring on. It's not a better voice to bring on for Thanksgiving Day than Michael. And Michael, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, good, my friend. Always good to hear from you. Always.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a great day for me. I mean, I kind of hit it last night. We really have to have a lot of thanks for where we've come and what we've accomplished, I think, as an awakening group across the world, God's children, of really opening our eyes more deeply to his love. So I know I'm grateful, and I know that in the sense that I was thinking this morning, it's just that and praying this morning, just the one thing that I just really hope that people will really embrace on this day is not just coming closer to Christ, but more a deeper trust in God.
I totally agree. I mean, walking, you know, it's a day of thanks and thank God for the pilgrims. Thank God that we still recognize a holiday, right? That's founded on the love of God and our country, but it's every day, right? In Christ, it's every day is a day of thanks. Every day we wake up breathing. At least for me, it's another day of thanks. And so I am so happy to be here, man, because I love Scott, man. Scott, you're a deep thinker, bro. Every time you call me on a side story, Scott will text me whenever we talk. It's every few weeks, right? Or every week or whatever. But he'll text me and be like, hey, man, are you free? And I'm like, dude, I'm on the air right now. I'll text you at 9. I'm on the air. Okay, well, let's just talk later on. And that's the way it works. And it's like 10 o'clock, we call each other. And then, you know, we talk till, you know, the sun comes up or whatever. So I'm thankful for you and I'm thankful for who you are in Christ. And I'm grateful that I got to meet you face-to-face at Bard's Fest.
Well, dude, it was Bard's Fest is one of these really powerful events, and I know we've talked about it many times. It's unique in a festival that you have something where, and it just to me shows the presence of God, that when we are sitting here now, I don't know, what is this, about 3.5 months past the point of Bard's Fest, and we're still reflecting back on the power that we all experienced in that moment. Together, the fellowship. I see it on our chat boards regularly, if not every night. It's the power that God brought and the glory that God brought in that festival of bringing people together and building true fellowship. And I'm assuming you've felt the same.
Yeah, 100%. Everybody that was at your, I say your event, but you know, our event, the event we attended, was so kind, whether it's the people in the hotel and, you know, the whole hotel was Bard's Fest people. So we'd be down there and then it turns into like this gathering of 30 people talking about God. And, but it's resonated and it's not forgotten. And, you know, and plus all of us getting sick, it's like, it's a marker in my life. And so I'll always be grateful to you for that. And the people that put it together, Duncan, Teddy, everybody that was so involved and your whole staff. And it was just, yeah, I will always reflect on that until the day I die of what it meant in this reckoning and this, I guess, the reconnecting with God. Because I've been a Christian, but this took it to a whole nother level, and it's not a hierarchy thing. It's about really getting on your knees. And, you know, that day we repented on that Saturday, God just showed us so much. And since then, it's just been every day, Lord, give me discernment, give me discernment, give me I want to walk in obedience to you. And I praise you and I'm thankful for every day. So today's probably an even more special day of thanks for me. So
I think you said that well, I mean, really well, because it is a more special day of thanks in the midst of all this craziness. And there is, and as you pointed out, we still have a day that we can celebrate. We haven't had that taken away. And this is the interesting thing about this time, for all the threats and the sword rattling and the pressures to comply to these horrific agendas, whether mm-hmm. it's the vax or whether it's just basically in one way or another to sell your soul to the worship of the state, it has come across, at least in my life and to many that I speak to, that those that are holding to that walk in Christ, and it's not easy, and it's not to say It's void of challenges, but it's almost like we're outside of that other system. And I talk about this a lot on the show. It's like we've stepped outside the matrix. And even though we're still on the fringe of the matrix and we're within its grasp, we're literally exodusing, to pluralize that term. We're doing an exodus of this craziness, and it's walking in God's arms. And it's really an amazing time and an amazing experience.
Yeah, it is. And it's exciting. And it's not like we have a roadmap, right? It's usually it's like, oh, well, you know, old school. What does this politician say? Or what does this church leader say? And it's, there's not really a lot of that going on. And so I believe what God's doing is refining his people at every level and exposing the corruption at every level. And it's an awakening like I've never seen. And we always talk about the Great Awakening or it's an awakening, right? And so God's getting the glory though. See, it's not any man getting the glory. It's Jesus getting the glory, the King of Kings, as rightfully as it should be. And so are people getting it? No, a lot of them aren't. A lot of them are though. And so that's the hopefulness. Whenever we talk, I hang up the phone sky high. I can't sleep. Thanks, Scott. But I mean, I get fired up, and that's the part of the gathering of the saints, bro. Right. It's like you with your chat, me with my chat. It's just the tribe of believers and love of God. And so people are so hungry for hope. And a lot of people are grasping on to things that aren't of God, that have the look of God, but they're not. And so, I just want to be a guy that's obedient to God and the best that I can do. I mean, I have a circle of friends that keep me honest, but I want to be able to be that person that just loves people, you know?
Yeah. The love is a real interesting word, and English does it such a disservice, not because the word in English is wrong, only that the word love has been so heavily abused, especially in the word terms of corporal love. Love is such a powerful thing. And it's the appreciation, I think, for all things that God's created and our interconnectivity for all of that. Yeah. There's a respect that goes with that for all living things, and a respect for each other that's deep. And it's very difficult, I think, for us to articulate that concept of love, hence why it is also so difficult to live it. It is a process of living into, as we would probably more appropriately frame it, living into the body of Christ, but the appreciation for what that is, which is far beyond the love and hug concept. And that's where love gets trapped, in my opinion, as a word, was we talk about love and people are like, oh, well, can I have a hug? Or are you going to go hug everybody? There's this sort of very trite approach to the word. And yet it is so, when we embrace what love is in God's terms, it is so complete, it is so full, it is so healing, it is so above all of these other things, and it puts you in such an untouchable place, which ultimately is that place that Christ showed us all, however by design, let's put it that way, the ending up of being sacrificed on the cross, and even in his near final words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. It's this unbelievable ascension above all of the stupidity, probably the good word, of the trite, again, things of the human existence. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, love is so, what you said was perfect, because love triggers a thought of Hallmark Christmas shows, right? You know, it's like there's a storyline, there's happiness, you know where it's going. And at the end, it's like, yay. But that's, you know, I hadn't watched Passion of the Christ in 10 years, and my grandkids were here, and I'm like, oh, I had it taped. And so it's all in, you know, why isn't it in English, Grandpa? So we watched the first 10 minutes, started getting brutal, but it's a movie, it's Hollywood, but the brutalness of how they treated Jesus. They literally beat the crap out of him from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. And so, yeah, love is defined differently to different people. But the love of a savior willingly going to the cross and dying for me is love, right? So we have this concept now in this culture, and I think it's just a learned culture, and it's intentional. But, you know, I can scream at you, hey, Scott, your house is on fire. Your house is on fire. And you would, you know, not you would, but it'd come back and go, well, why are you yelling at me? I don't like your tone. I don't like your delivery, but I'm screaming your house is on fire. So you will be saved. So you won't get, you know, killed. And so you're totally on the mark where this concept of love, it's like, what does it actually mean? Jesus showed it, you know, Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected in his glory.
There's an interesting place I go when I look at the sacrifice of Christ, and this way I look at the story, and you and I talked a little bit about this last night, and I think that it's something that is an optics shift that I tend to do this a lot in reading scripture, and rather than in stepping back a little bit. And so we look at Christ's arrest and what happens in the garden. You know, Peter cuts off the ear, Christ stays his sword, heals the soldier, and then willfully accepts being arrested. And so it's from that point forward to the point of his crucifixion, everybody denies him and the world steps back from him and turns on him.
Yeah.
And it's I think in the way that it's taught in general terms in the church is that's the destiny. God's son is going to be sacrificed. And I always talk about it in terms of, all right, well, let's step back. And the reality is that human beings did nothing. As I say on the show regularly, they were feckless. They stood back. They turned on Christ. They did nothing to stand for him. And so it's a reflection not only of the greatness of what Christ accomplished during those moments and what God gave all of us through the sacrifice of his son, but it's equally a reflection on us as people, which in this time I think is something deeply to reflect on, is what are we going to do now? Are we going to stand for the saving of humanity, or are we going to do as happened once many years ago and to pull back and to deny, to your point about the fire, to deny the point of where we are and that we must be saved to move on?
Yeah, it was so good. When you said that, I was like, yes, they didn't stand up back then, you know? So why do we think they're going to stand up? We are going to stand up now. It's such a great lesson that, you know, the Ecclesiastes 1, where like there's nothing, you know, what's been done before will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. And that's, boy, what a lesson. And so I thank you for bringing that up last night, because I was just like, I was pondering it even this morning. So yeah, some say, oh, it's a movie, but it's like, it's the same thing happening. And every day we're confronted with a brutal truth, and every day we're given the opportunity to take a stand. But are we taking it? I mean, my take is, you know, I'm renewed since Bard's Fest, and, you know, I'll keep going back to that because it's on my heart. But every day you have a choice to make a stand, and we're given those opportunities. And so as I roam the internet, it's like people are passionate, right? They're passionate. But can you defend your passion for, I'll just say, for weed, right? I know everything about weed. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to defend it to the hilt. Do we have that same passion about Christ, right? I know every cue drop, you know, some people treat it like scripture, right? It's like, oh, well, there's this happened. Do we have that same passion for the word of God? My take is no, hell no, we don't. And because of that, this biblical illiteracy, whether intentional or non-intentional, it's a scheme of the enemy to water down the word of God. And it's been watered down. And so, as we've spoken before, the word of God in Hebrews said it's a two-edged sword. It cuts, it divides to the joints, to the marrows. But if you water down the gospel or don't know it, what do you do with a dull blade? It's worthless. It doesn't cut. We have these preachers or whatever talking about everything about love and don't be negative and don't, you know, I call it the Rodney King prophecy, dude. He is not a prophet. Can we all get along? Is that really, you know, is that what we receive now? Well, that's the culture. And it's, you can get fired up if you really want to go down all these rabbit holes, but I contend that every day we're given choices to make decisions on things. And have I failed? Oh, tremendously. Am I trying to rectify it and make good choices? Yeah, 100%. And that's part of this awakening. And that's the Holy Spirit, man. It's a God thing, bro.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I this shallowness in the way faith is being preached is, it's shocking. And it's also why we are here. Yeah. I have a lot of criticism that I put forward for so many on the pulpit, especially with the deceptions that have been put forth to people with regards to this injection and tying that into scripture. And fortunately, there are some good pastors in this country that have not Amen. Taken that route, but unfortunately not enough of them. Our country was founded by bold truths coming from the pulpit, and that's something that's undeniable. The one thing that most historians can agree upon, though historians don't often agree on the details of much of anything because they all want to have their little fiefdom of knowledge, but the one thing that they can agree on is that the United States would not have been a country. We would not have had a revolution had we not have had the bold truth speakers from the pulpit, those that stood up and spoke truth, to spoke about openly about tyranny and what it was to have liberty and to live free and distrust government. The irony is that 240 plus years or so later, we have the pulpit telling people to trust the state, to comply to it. That's not God's way, and it's not the way this country was established, and it's not the way our founding fathers envisioned.
No. And then, you know, you're the freak for bringing it up, right? You're the minority. you're the guy that, who's that clown? Well, I remember them saying the same thing about John the Baptist, bro. And not to say you're John the Baptist, but I'm saying it's that spirit of, it's rebellion. You want to talk about rock and roll? You know, I've said that before, where it's like the Woodstock generation got soft, and it's like it was all about rebellion and fighting the man. And now they're corporate whores, you know. And it's just amazing the way things flip. And we're the guys going, preach the gospel, preach the whole gospel, give us the whole gospel, not pick and choose. Oh, let's find scriptures on peace. Okay, well, let's share all the, no, let's go through the Bible. Let's go through the word, the way it was written. Let's just go through it, because there's so many nuggets in there that people don't even know about. And that's kind of my urgency of why I want to do a morning show. It's like, it's just a quick hit. You come in, let's play some worship tunes, read the Bible, get out. And that's, you know, back to 1 Timothy 4:13. Seems, I don't even have a name for my show. It's like, hello, everybody. But it's just that whole 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. He didn't say reading, exhortation, and, you know, card tricks or carnival or Mardi Gras. You know, he said reading the word of God, exhortation, that's uplifting each other, the saints, and to doctrine. It's very important. And we overlook that a lot. I say we, but I'm saying we as a collective church. And so I'm the weird guy out there screaming about doctrine, but I've been hit by, you know, people saying, oh, well, your doctrine, you're not being loving, you're not that. It's just a distraction, bro. And so I want to encourage you on this day of thanks. Thank you for what you do. Thank you, because you are contending for the faith. That's what Paul did. If you read the book of Acts, every chapter, he's going into cities, going into towns. He's writing letters before he gets there. He's like, I'm coming, get your stuff together. And he's contending, whether it's with the Greeks, whether it's the philosophers, whether the Romans, with the Jews, even with the church. And he's calling out the sin in the church consistently. In Corinthians, he's calling out the church. They were living in sin. And it's a beautiful thing. People are like, well, Paul's pretty negative. He's snarky. Yeah, he's telling it like it is, but it comes off as hateful. If we read it for what it is, people are like, oh, that's, you know, in today's culture, that's mean. Well, sorry. No apologies.
Oh, boy, that's good. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about this morning show. I mean, you've got your music as well, because you're continuing that. So bring us up to date a little bit on what you're doing, because I was moved last night when you shared with me you were doing a morning show. I had one going for a good part of the year. After Barsfest, I've kind of pulled back to follow a lot of where God's guided me, which is focusing on the book, which I'm still finishing, and getting a lot of the county by county things set up. But morning shows are coming back on my side. There is something very special about an early morning prayer and worship, and people are hungry for it, as we all should be. I should say it that way. Yeah. But it was a great reminder to me last night when you were sharing that you were doing it. I smiled and I'm like, okay, it's kind of like God tapping me on the shoulder and said, all right, son, you've had your vacation's about over. So get ready, because you're buckle up after the first of the year, you're going to be digging in. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Pieces are starting to come into play. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's good for you though, dude, because you needed, and it's, dude, a vacation for you is instead of doing six shows a day, doing three. It's like your vacation definition would not be in Webster's dictionary, but yeah, that's cool. So, you know, like back to Bards, everything changed, right? Whether we got sick or whether what was happening, it was a refining process, right? It's the refiner's fire. So God's taken this time to reflect and show you different things, and me as well. And so I only did a nighttime show originally. I did not even a broadcaster when I got deleted off Twitter. When I came back from DC in January, I'm like, well, I got more to say. And so I started broadcasting, and my friend Sandra and Greg, people helped me out, Brandon, and they helped me out. And now, you know, if I look at my first show 8-10 months ago, it's pretty sad, but now it's moving like, you know, it moves quick. It's that's the great thing with the new media, Scott. It's like we do the editing, the front of the camera, behind the camera, the technical stuff. It's like Hannity would melt. If you had Hannity on there and there's chat coming by telling him he sucked, he would literally melt, bro. It's like Ron Burgundy. So thank God for what we do. And it's pretty exciting once you get the hang of it. But my morning show was just a matter of, I did a nighttime thing because I didn't want to step on anybody, right? But now in the morning, I'm finding, like I even did one this morning, Thanksgiving morning, and people are, whether they're on their way to work, it starts at 5:30 a.m. It's 5:30 to 6:30. So East Coasters are already well into their day, but it's dark here when I started. But wife and I were already doing our devotional and praising God. We're like, why not hit the stream? I have a whole catalog of worship tunes, right? And I'm pulling worship tunes I love. I was playing some Phil Kagi, old school stuff, man. And that to me, is resonating. It seems to be, people are like, oh my God, thank you. I'm driving to work. I got people out here in California. I got people on the East Coast. I'm drinking coffee. I'm baking this morning. I'm cooking. I'm getting ready. Thank you for just this quick, boom, come in here, worship, share scriptures, some proverbs, whatever, and then move on. And everyone has their day. So I'm excited about it. I never did it, but it's pretty cool. And it's making me want to work harder to invest into my show. A lot of what I've been doing, I've been investing in other people's shows, writing them here, writing this, writing intros, doing this stuff, which is a love of what I love to do. I love to give away, but now I have this catalog of songs and now I'm working on stuff actually on my show. And so it'll be exciting to see what God has, but I'm just fired up, man. I'm fired up and I still do the nighttime show, but I'll probably first of the year, I'm thinking I'll pull back and just maybe do that for interviews and stuff, but there's a mouthful. There's a long answer.
No, it's a great one. There's no short answer on these. I mean, it's passion. You don't speak passion quickly. Yeah. I think that's the great thing right there is it is passion. And this is why when you are, I've had to restrain myself a little bit because I have doing six shows a day is exhausting, but it's fulfilling, right? I mean, you know, I'm very honest and it is a passion, but there is a place where we have to kind of focus in on the bigger things, like the things that God wants us to do as well to mature ourselves. It isn't just enough to speak a show. We have to live our faith. That's one thing that I know I was really on my heart coming back from Bards Fest, which is, you know, really build up the temple, which is the home and our own body temple. And I've spent real good time doing that, getting my health back. It was an exhausting cycle of going into Bards Fest and exhausting after Bards Fest, getting the focus back on making sure that the home temple is fortified, strengthened for what storm is to come, whatever that looks like. And that's not being some sort of prophet on what's coming, just a knowledge that things are changing. Things are changing radically. And I think that's the most obvious of all things is, it was si vous plaît imparce bellum, which is if you want peace, prepare for war. And I think God's put that heavy on my heart very truthfully. And hopefully that's that preparation very much as in Joseph filling the silos, that as we do that, we stay this period well together as a fellowship and as God's children. And then with that, as we build ourselves up, then we're able to re-enter the battle again stronger, more secure with new renewed messages, new renewed words as God's guided us. So it is a passion and it's a beautiful passion to be able to bring all things that we do centered on one singular focus, which again is God's word.
Well, it's the passion, but the passion that, that we have a loving father, you know, my friend Neo says we have the same dad and we have this father that is working through you, Scott, doing things, showing you things, revealing things, telling you to pull back on this, refine this. And then I'm over here in California doing my thing, and God's doing this and bringing people in my life, sharing, doing. And then when we talk, it may be a week or maybe 2 weeks. It's like this, man. Well, I'm doing visual as a front camera. It's like these connecting of the hands. It's just a bonding of it's the Holy Spirit, man. It's like we're gather together. I wrote that song, We Gather Together, but it's just, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm passionate of it because it's that Holy Spirit where you connect with somebody. It's like the love of God and you can't explain it. And that's how grateful I am to God for still using me. I mean, I was reading this morning and we're going through Timothy, and Paul's talking about, I'm the chief sinner. I'm the worst. God used me and me, the slanderer, the murderer, to reveal his glory, to give hope to those who are way out in left field, the worst sins, the worst things. And God loves to show off and he loves to reveal his glory. And so the fact that you, the fact that me, we're just guys, man, and we love God and we want to say, use me, Lord God. And I repent and I'm continually repenting and refining and let God lead, right? And so a lot of people are like, okay, thank you, God. I got my agenda now. Cool. This is what I'm going to do. That's cool. God bless them. But I can change on a dime, right? And that's the cool thing of not being really owned by anyone. And that's the part that makes you dangerous, right? Because we could sit on here and talk and no one's going to be like, Scott, you better do this. Remember that, all that, you know, what I invested in, what we don't have that. So God bless the rebellious, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. I'm so thankful. And I don't know what's going to happen every day, bro. I literally wake up and go, Lord God, thank you for another day. And then when we talked last night, I'm like, oh, of course I'll come on, man. I love God. And I'm so thankful for who he is. And is this the longest year ever, dude?
It's like, man, this has been
January 6th seems like 7 years ago, dude.
It does. It's crazy. It well said. And what an upside down world. It's like we hit bizarro land. We instantly watched everything that was truthful turn on its head, and we're seeing it even now, you know.
Yes.
I love this even on today. You need to have a very, very careful and no turkey type Thanksgiving because there's scarcity. And I'm looking around going, I don't know where you are, but turkeys are plentiful and the market's plentiful and everything's going well. But what, again, they're conditioning. Right? They do this. They condition for behavior, which is a lot of what they've been doing this year because they hate Thanksgiving and what it represents. They being those in power, they being those that ultimately worship the dark Lord Lucifer, they that despise everything that is about God. And so this is a conditional programming that's going on right now to get people to start believing in something that's not there, but it's also an anticipation of what they're trying to create, which is scarcity next year. What they misunderstand is it has nothing to do with the turkey. And that's just a symbolism that we're using to bring together an amazing moment of the pilgrims and the Native Americans, the American Indians. It was a true unity of peace that occurred in that celebration. It had nothing to do with the wars that they created later on. But a true unity of peace. And that was the original. That's why that supper becomes, the Thanksgiving dinner becomes so important. The peace that the pilgrims brokered with the American Indians that lasted over 50 years. It's quite an amazing story. And that's the story they don't want you to pay attention to. Instead, they want you to focus on the American Indian wars that they created that ended up with the slaughter of nations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, division is how they thrive, right?
Correct.
Division is how you create wars. Division is how you set the people against each other. And so the story of the pilgrims, thank God for Lee and Michelle taught me a lot about the pilgrims. That I, you know, it's a renewed love for the pilgrims. And so when we were talking before about the unity, boy, that's the exact opposite of what everybody sells you. And so it's always like growing up, you'd see a picture of, oh, a pilgrim, and, you know, Indians and beads and, you know, they're sitting down, you know, the cartoon or whatever, but the story, they want to make it cartoonish, right? They don't want to know. They don't want you to know what really happened and how that evolved and how symbolic it was for us as a nation. And so I'm in awe of what God's done, but God's like, yeah, you know, it's just a matter of me recognizing it. If nothing's changed, God's doing his thing. And I'm just actually going, oh, thank you, Lord, for showing me that. Or thank you that I'm in a place where I can see it. And so that comes through, you know, again, repentance and reading of the word of God. So it's a cool thing, man. So awesome.
Well, it's an interesting year we have ahead of us as well. Even though we're not there yet, we're still having the wind down of this crazy 2021. But I
still got another month, bro. You don't even know.
This is the truth, right? And it's just amazing how much they're... I hope that people will be open in their hearts and honestly review what's happened even in the last couple of weeks, just how these cluster of events happen, and they seem to happen around very important times for patriots. And the whole concept of the unity is every time unity starts to come together, they're going to do whatever they can to create disruption and pain, and they tend to do that extremely well. And they manipulate the perceptions of reality through their various forms and outlets of media. And they've expanded that to include the various forms of new media to try to make it look fake. The true sense of the word of God being told through these alternate channels, the true sense of the dedication and yourself and many others. You mentioned Leah Michelle, Resistance Chicks, who were on last night, and just these voices that are rising up to share the truth, to give perspectives on the news, to give perspective on events, and then to frame that around, always around God's word, I think is so important, because it really takes us back again to what our founding of this nation was about. It was the pulpit, which is now is kind of a virtual pulpit, but it was truly a place where our pastors, our preachers were speaking in the truth of the day, the challenges of events, the things that they were facing, and they were putting it back to scripture, and they were being bold. I read the other night the first prayer of the First Continental Congress, which was given in 1774. And it's a very profound prayer, because the prayer, it embraces the fact that they're at war. It embraces the fact that they're dealing with an enemy who's is trying to take away their freedom and right, and it asks for God to enjoin them in this battle to strike down the weapons of war from their enemy. There's no shying away from the reality of what they were facing, and that's in 1774. Here we are today, and instead of saying stand boldly, we get so many of these quote pseudo churches, and I put that really in inverted commas, which is comply to the state, do as you are told, obey. That's not the nature of Christ's teachings. That is not the nature of God's word, to trust the institutions of man. And so again, it comes back to those passions of telling God's word from the many that will stand up and speak. And I hope that only grows in this next year, because I think that's going to be the key, is speaking the word. And then the bottom line on that is trust, to literally trust in God.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, blessed are the storytellers. He's rising up. I really believe that even at Bard's, that at Bard's Fest, God assembled storytellers, and he had people there. He wanted to be there, and he had people that couldn't make it weren't there. But it's like there was a blessing where when we leave there, we're telling stories, and stories of the gospel, stories of redemption, stories of repentance, right? And that's resonating. And so just in my small little corner of the internet talking about God in the morning, I already start to feel and see different things resonating. And you have this platform where God's entrusted you with it, and you're just sharing truth. So blessed are the truth tellers. You say you hope it does. It's going to. I think there's a whole young generation of punk rockers, man. I mean, these people that are just, imagine being in high school and not being able to play sports your senior year, right? They've created a generation of rebels, and it's coming. It's coming. I pray to God I'm still alive to see it, but it's happening. I got my grandkids. They're just like, how's school? Ah, you know, they're just like so truthful, whereas like, oh no, what are they saying? Nah, because it's raw and it's real and it's authenticity. And that's the key, the authenticity. The world is crying out for authenticity, whether it's good or bad. If you believe this, that's cool. I just want to hear your passion, what you believe. And so you're passionate. I'm passionate. Sure, it rubs people the wrong way. Some it doesn't, but it doesn't matter. No, we answer to God. So, you know, authenticity is the key. And that's you know, people can try to teach it. They can try to do it. Nah, but see, the reason people aren't authentic is because number one, they're controlled, or number two, they're afraid to be themselves, right? I'm this certain person. Hollywood's built that whole thing, the whole media thing. But we're just guys just clicking record, stream, and here we are, man. Take us or leave us. Oh, I hate that guy. Well, that's cool. So?
I hate you.
Oh, yeah, right?
I had some hate coming in last night on Gab. I was laughing. Let me see if I can pull this up because I'll read it to you. It's funny, the post that I did and how riled it got people with a simple post. Stand by here as I pull this up. And it was, it's an intentional play. I did an intentional play on words. And what I wrote is question everything. And then I wrote, by deception, they will wage war. And I put they in caps. And then I put by God in caps and our loving Christ, we in caps will win. Man, you know, Gab does not have the activity that Twitter does, obviously, right?
Right.
And this is like old style Twitter responses. I'm not kidding you. It just lit it up last night. I was laughing because this thing has got 1,400 likes. It's got 109 comments, 349 reposts. And it's just like, wow. You know, and people are like, dude, that's Mossad's words. It's like, yes, it is. Exactly. There's the they, my brother. There's the they. That is the they of what Mossad represents, that they will wage war by deception. And what's the we? We within God's realm, we together shall stand and we shall win in our love of Christ. But you have these, the various things are, dude, you, and I've read them. You Christians will figure out that in the end you have to do something. You can't just pray. It's like, we know that. That's a given. You know, we need to take up arms. It's like, all right, brother, that's good. Are you waiting? I mean, this is the part that I always laugh at. We need to do something. We need to stop this talk. Okay. What are you waiting for then? Why don't you stand up? If that's really what you truly passionately believe, why are you holding back? But there, it's this groupthink thing. It's easy to throw stones. Mm-hmm. It's easy to accuse and to condemn others, but it's very difficult to stand up in front and just speak simple truths, right? And we are in a war of deception. You know, I'm just going to segue into that a little bit because it as I'm talking, it really brings to mind that moment where Christ is between the accusers and the adulteress, right? And they're holding stones, and people, you know, he's writing something in the earth, and right, people often talk about that. Like, what was he writing? Well, here's a more simple truth to put before him, before everybody. Christ, in that moment in time, had one chance to speak truth, and it had to be perfect. Because if he didn't speak the right words, they would have stoned him as quickly as they would have stoned the woman. I don't know what he put on the ground. Maybe that was something significant. Maybe it wasn't some sort of incantation or something. The fact is, what his words were basically to reflect on yourself before you accuse another, to simplify that. And again, we're back. That's why the story comes up relevant to what I was pointing to, is that we want to cast the stone. We want to call out boldly. We need to do something, but we are doing something in our faith and respect with God. And we're doing so boldly, and we're doing so with God. And in so doing, we are wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is greater than the sword of steel. And if we continue to do that together, we've never envisioned a world where the millions that are standing in together literally stand up and proclaim God in this day, in this time, for this moment, in this victory.
Yeah, that's an actual revival, and we don't know what it looks like, right? We got to read books from the 1800s to see to kind of feel what a revival looks like, because we have a lot of fake revivals, but it's a matter of repentance, and that's where it begins. And so it comes back to, you know, it's boldness. And I believe, you know, that we're just guys, but God's called us to do this. And I believe God's called everybody to do it, but that's the deal. Am I better? Because no, I'm just going on it and I'm trying, you know, I can change. I can, you know, like say, I have not set in my ways as far as what my vision is to serve God. But right now I'm kind of doing this, you're doing your thing, but we're open. And that's all about walking in the Spirit, walking, reading. And it comes back to the reading, exhortation, and gathering of the saints. You're bouncing ideas on this forum, right? And people will like it, not like it, but you're doing it. And so could we go everywhere and do everything? No, we can't. But we have a voice, and you're telling stories and you're relaying truth. And so with that, God's doing the work, right? It's not, you know, we don't do anything. No, we're active. People are getting active, but they are so looking for hope that they're grasping on to a lot of crap. I've been there. Right? I know. But in this world of plastic fakeness, the truth stands out like a, you know, like the bat light, right? Like it sticks out because there's so much crap out there. And so I just want to encourage anybody, man, God's calling you for this movement. And this movement is the good of, you know, the battle for earth, right? Good and evil, man. This is like the galaxy. This is the greatest battle of all time. And the enemy wants us to just, you know, click on the remote or do whatever we do and just sit on the couch. What's your marshmallow? I love that thing about the marshmallow pews. What is it?
The marshmallow.
Every time you say that, I laugh, dude.
The marshmallow pew sitters.
Yeah. See, yeah. It's, you know, and that comes back to the religion thing. Well, I went to church, or I did this, or I prayed this prayer, or I did this. Ah, man, it's a relationship. And that thing with Christ, boldness is all throughout the book of Acts, man. Paul's just calling it out. He's debating, you know, when did the critical thinking stop in the Christian world, right? That's how people came to Christ, because Paul would take on these Greek philosophers or the Jews, and he would quote the law back to them. And they'd be like, you know, I was reading the thing yesterday in Corinthians, where Festus, the governor, was so pissed off at Paul. He's like, I'm going to take you all the way to northern, you know, by where the Golan Heights. He took him up there to King Agrippa. And Agrippa's like, and Paul's like, Agrippa, he stopped talking. He goes, I gladly defend myself. And he starts preaching the gospel. And then Festus starts screaming, you're insane. Your learning has made you insane. And Paul starts laughing. He's like, look at him. And then he ignored Festus and he went right to the king. He's all, king, you know the scriptures, you know what they say. And what did Agrippa say? He goes, Paul, if you keep talking like this, I'm going to become a Christian. I had never seen that before. I started laughing, dude. The king's like, Paul, if you keep that up, I'm going to be a Christian. And then they talk to the side and he's like, this never should have came to me. This never should have came, you know, to me. It was like, it should have been thrown out instantly, set him free. And that's what happens to Paul. You know, they beat his ass. They do all this stuff. And then, oh, they set him free. Because God's got his hand on him. Blessed are the boldness. Now, yeah, it's just boldness. I am encouraged by the book of Acts and all those letters. Paul's fearless. Where's the fearlessness today? Where's it at? Well, it's out there and it's coming and it's slowly growing.
Oh, I agree.
You're in that camp, dude. So,
oh, as are you. I mean, this is just one of these things that I just hope that these conversations inspire many others as we have, because it is bold. It is putting God first. It is trusting truly in God in a way that we don't normally. It's not trusting in God as long as my profit line stays. It's not trusting in God as long as I can reform my business to adapt to the new COVID environment. It's none of that. This is how this is happening, because it's so shaped. And it's what I've tried to talk to people very boldly about and very directly about. It's just, it's like this no vax versus no vax mandate. And they're like, well, but it's working. We're winning. And it's like, no, you're not winning, because you're not stepping away from what the real issue is. The no vax mandate, as an example, just in very cogent to what we're dealing with today, is you're saying it's still okay. You just don't want it because you want to preserve your job. That's not the passion of the walk. That is, you're trying to work within the system. You're trying to somehow skirt around the Pharisees' rules and still go to the temple. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about stepping away. Right. We're talking about being Paul. We're talking about, okay, enough. Here is the path. There is one path. The path is that of following that word of God and the glory in Christ. And as you say, Paul is bold, and he is pushing in constantly, and he is in the process. People are like, dude, you're making me uncomfortable because I might have to give up my beliefs and join you because you're making more sense. Well, yeah, he is making more sense because God is there. God's showing them. And through that words of Paul, he's being so bold as to shake up the many and to start making them rethink and recalibrate their entire life. That is the sword of the Spirit right there.
Yeah. Right. It's like, let me go bury my father first. Right. Or let me go. It's like, no, I am so, you know, talk about thankfulness. I'm thankful that we live in this time and day. We are here at this moment in history. We could have been born at any time. And I think people don't recognize or acknowledge that what a great time. And wow, no, the sky's falling. Well, yeah, they're telling us the sky's falling, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of crap going on. But man, you and I and everybody else have an opportunity to make a difference. Not only with the internet, globally. And so this voice crying out in the wilderness is not just John the Baptist, you know, talking to a few people walking by. This is the opportunity where anybody willing to lay down their life can be used as an instrument of Christ. And it's an amazing time. If you really focus on it, and I have been lately, it's like, it's insane how great it is.
Oh, it's
so
true.
I'm thankful for that, bro.
Oh, I'm equal. I'm so thankful for that. There is not another time I would choose to live than now, where you literally have the tools that were developed ultimately for evil that are being turned on their head to be used for good. We have the ability to speak the word of God, not just in a home setting, but to take it to the world and letting God guide that and open the world up to the greater message and seeing the opportunity where it's saying to you, no, you don't have to go to seminary. If this is what's on your heart, pursue this, raise up and do this. And you don't need to have the tickets of degrees and so forth next to you. If you've got it in your heart to be passionate for it, follow that passion that God's given you. We are approaching a world that we are creating through this, where in all things we have the love and spirit of God. In all things first is the love and spirit of God. That means music. That means the creations of whatever work you're doing. It means transforming your lives around the passions and gifts and talents which God has given you, and to follow that in such a deep way, to trust in that. The key word that we just don't say enough, trust in that, trust in Him, and watch what happens. Because right now, I feel more than any other time, it's like God has opened the doors, literally. And as you step through it, He's going to close the doors you no longer have to deal with. But He's opening the doors as only He can open. And as those doors open and we step through, it's almost you can feel His joy. It's like, now let me show you what a glorious path lies ahead of you. And with this, you suddenly find yourself in a place where you're like, wow. I never thought this could happen. Well, because we thought it, we didn't trust in Him, right? Don't let our limitations now of what our mind has been programmed to do, to tell you no, to tell you you can't, to tell you you're inferior, to tell you you don't have the right degrees, to tell you whatever. Just turn to God and say, God, is this where you want me? And if God says yes, run, and run as far and as fast into that as you possibly can. Throw it all there. Keep God with you and keep God in that whole path and watch the world transform around you, because it will.
It's true. And that boldness. But see, someone's just got to, and I guess that's our job right now. It's just saying, hey, God is good. He loves you. He created you for this moment. Run to Him every day. Not just, you know, old school like me and be like, oh, God did this amazing thing. Okay, I'm going to talk about it for 3 weeks, right?
Right.
But the winds are coming so fast and furious, as a term I use, they're coming at you like, and you're like, you got to write stuff down, or I got to write songs about it. Or it's like God's moving through his people. But if you just ask him to show you and give you a calling, man, it's going to be a wildfire. And I believe it's happening, Scott, but the enemies, you see them getting more crazy because they know what's happening. These people are smart. They know, they can see. And so it's a distraction here, distraction here. But even within the church, they're going to try to, oh, well, you know, I got secret information here. I'm at this. And it's like, test the spirits, man, according to the word of God. Test all spirits, because Paul, again, said, as soon as I leave, the wolves are going to come in to deceive you. They're going to deceive you. And what did Paul do today in Timothy? He's calling out, I delivered Hymenaeus over to Satan for preaching false doctrine. What does that look like, dude? He delivered him over to Satan. What is that? Oh, it's, well, first of all, it's very mean and very negative, and I don't like it, but I'm being facetious, but I'm saying that is what we're living in. And that boldness, we're coming at you in the name of Jesus. What are you going to do? You're going to screech. You're going to screech, right? It's like, hey, just go into those pigs and run off the cliff, bro. Right?
Oh, true.
You false prophets, you false pastors, you know, boom. I'm handing you over to Satan, whatever, let God deal with you. But for me, I'm going to pull people out of the fire. I'm going to give them the word of God, and God does the work, bro. God does the work. At 56 years old, I'm learning. It's not what I say. It's how I do it. It's what I say, but God does the work. I just got to be obedient. And right now I'm just trying to walk in that. Every day I'm learning new stuff, and I talk to you and you go through the same thing. And that's the thing, when you're that you can be molded, when you can be molded, that's the thing. It's like when we're like this and like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I got my mission statement and I know what I'm going to do now. God, how does God work with that? I mean, he can do it when he's ready to do it. He'll, for what, you know, like we talked about Moses last night, you know, when it's the reckoning, it's going to happen. But do you want to be in that place? I don't think there's any time. And as an older person, I'm just like, every day is important. Every day. And I don't take it for granted anymore. I'm not going to, Lord willing.
That's a great place to kind of close this out today, because it is the moment. It is the present. It is being in the here and the now and living in the here and the now. We shouldn't be looking so far ahead and so far behind. There is a point where God's given us an opportunity to be here now, present with him. And that's the greatest gift, not to forget the walk, because when we forget to take time to pause and to look up and to look around and to see the glory of the world that's around us, to see what's before us, I think that's, again, to pull it back then literally to the table, which is Thanksgiving. I mean, what are we doing? We're taking a pause. We're taking a look at what's before us. We're being thankful for the bounty that's before us, whether it's massive or small, makes no difference. What God has provided for us, we are taking that breath in that moment, and there we are. So I would just want to make a mention to some things here as we kind of close up, and then I thought we'd close with a prayer.
Yeah. Scott, let me say one last thing. It's the journey, man. It's the journey.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? The society tries to teach us, oh, you'll be happy when, buy this product. You'll be happy when. But I'm going to, as we pray today, it's a journey, man. You're going to got to be happy where you're at. Today, we all have an opportunity. If we're meeting with our family, whatever we're doing, today's a ministry opportunity. Today, every day. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's great. I think that's great.
I interrupt. I'm a professional.
Well, it's good. That's excellent, as I do. So that's good. Well, I think that as we close up with a prayer, I just want to make acknowledge of a few things. We want to make acknowledge. I think we should make acknowledgement of families that are divided, which is a very tough time. It's not something that we seek. It's an unfortunate consequence in these false worships and the missing of truth. We have soldiers that I've now learned that can't come see their family because they aren't injected, which is insanity. And then we also have those that are alone this time. And the reminder that you're not alone, the Christ is with you. And though those are difficult moments, you're not alone. So, I don't know. Why don't you start with a prayer, and we'll do this prayer together.
Yeah. Okay. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we are just, so in love with you, Lord, and we thank you for that renewed love and what you're doing in our lives. And I just pray, Lord, that you forgive us our sins, that you cleanse us, Lord, that you show us where we're going astray. And we ask that you help us to correct it and make things right. And I, Lord, I thank you so much. And Lord, we lift up people maybe that have lost people this year, right? That have never spent Thanksgiving alone, you know, traditions, family traditions, patriarchs, matriarchs that are gone in the family, and that huge gaping hole that they're feeling right now, Lord God, I lift them up to you. And I ask that you fill that gap. You fill it with your love and your spirit. And I just, Lord, our law enforcement people working today, everybody that's working today, bless them, Father, that worked today, that is working on Good Friday, our Black Friday. It's called Good Friday, Black Friday. Lord, there's so many. We live in a world of chaos, and I just pray, Lord, that you would bring peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that you will be exalted. There's no dark winter. No, this is the winter of Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Lord, for our military, our troops that are away, that have to Skype, that have to look and talk away from their families. God, just bless them beyond measure. And I just thank you for your spirit. And Lord, I pray that people watching tonight, even on the replay or whatever, will be blessed. They'll realize that, man, I need to do something. I need to walk in you. And God will show you. And God, just show them. Pour out your spirit on your flesh, on all flesh. And we thank you for being the Lamb of God. I thank you for Scott and his ministry. And Lord, we just ask that you continue these friendships, bring people to us, to minister to us. And I just thank you for the chat. I thank you for the body of Christ. And Lord, continue to refine us in your image, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, we do thank you for all the opportunities that have given to us in this time. And let us not forget just how significant we are in this time. Lord, we pray as well today that we take time to reflect and to be in the moment. There's a lot on people's shoulders, a lot of worries, anxieties, and fear. And yet we know that through you, there are none of that. There is no fear through you. Unfortunately, in the world that we live, Lord, that there's such a consuming amount of noise that distracts people from the truth and distracts people from the center point of true love and conviction. The passions that you give within us, let those awaken on this day. Let people see truly where you want them. Let them hear you. And let us ultimately, Lord, let us revive the trust in you. A trust in you as a nation, which begins with our humbling ourselves before you, repenting before you, and bringing back that true trust, the trust of strength that we can walk in this world, knowing that in every breath and step you are with us and that we're trusting in that. We takes away our anxieties. It takes away our anticipations. It takes away our fears, our anger, our hate. Let us walk in that place where we're away from the institutions and corruption of the men, of those of men, of those things where they're trying to forcefully divide us, forcefully harm us, forcefully change us. Let us not find any sort of solace in their lies, but instead to find strength only in the word of Christ and through the words of you, Lord, to guide us to this place of absolute truths, of clarity, of eyes to see and ears to hear. Let us take that time of remembrance of what this day is truly about, not the stories that are being made up around what the meaning of Thanksgiving is, but quite to the contrary, the true origins of Thanksgiving, which was the coming together, a unity of two different peoples to share and break bread, to celebrate for 3 days, to make peace and to make unity, and to literally take the two rivers and make them into one. Let us find that place again, Lord, and let us heal this land and put you back on the throne above all things. And restore this nation as one nation truly under God. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dude, fired up.
Oh,
fired up, man.
What a great day it's going to be. Well, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving today with your family.
Yeah.
And
amen.
So it will be good. And you're going to be continuing to create music, right? And
yeah, still writing worship tunes. I've written two since Bard's Fest. And it starts off broken and unafraid, you know, and it's a good place to be, man. It's a great place to be.
Absolutely.
Because God leads the way. And so, as we lift him up, I just pray that everyone just continues to listen to that still small voice, you know?
So before we go, where can people find your shows?
Well, my shows are on Cloud Hub, Facebook, DLive, Twitch. It's Miguel California. On all of them. It's channel 130 on Cloud Hub, but my website, AmericanMagaMusic.com. All my songs are free. There's over 150 of them. And so all my songs, so as I write and make a video, I'll upload it. And so you can go download all the audios. They're free. They're a gift to, to you and to everybody else. And then my Christmas CD, which I sold before and raised money for a Code of Vets, I'm going to give it away this year. So that should be probably by tomorrow. So all my Christmas songs are free as well. And so I just want to bless people and use them as instruments to minister to people and comfort and lift up Jesus. So.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Well, have a very blessed day, a very blessed Thanksgiving. Appreciate you coming on.
It's my honor, bro. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And I love talking to you always, whether it's on the air or off the air, man. God bless you, bro.
Hey, Patriots. That was Michael Beatty, who's obviously a great voice in this movement, a great talent with all that he does with his music. And we're going to actually play one of his pieces on the closing tonight. But I think it's an important reflection of all that conversation that we had today. Just the biggest word for me that keeps jumping out is trust, and putting trust in God, truly trusting in God, not giving lip service to it. We hear this a lot. I've been noticing a lot when I read posts by Patriots right now, a lot just around different forums. And there's always this comment like, well, and God wins, kind of like an afterthought. No, God does win. And through Christ Jesus, we always win. And there's no question about that. But winning doesn't mean that you get a blue ribbon. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get a trophy at the end of the day, because you've already have the greatest trophy you could ever ask for. All of us have that. And that's life. And that was given to us on the cross. So on this day, I think we are most thankful for that, and thankful for what we have as a nation and what we have as ourselves in this fellowship, in this remnant, in this difficult time that is difficult for a reason. It's bringing us closer to God. And that's a greater statement than probably anything we could ever say, is that in this time, in this place, for this time and for this place as well, we are here. And we are here to do God's will. And that means hold the line, occupy the land, and expand his kingdom. So let us keep that in our hearts as we go forward here in the weeks and months ahead. Thanksgiving's also just a great entry point into that closeout of the year as we reflect on the blessings and we go into Christmas and our celebrations around that to then transition into what is our new year. And we have a lot ahead, and a lot of winning ahead. Because when God's involved, no matter how you cut it, there's always going to be winning. So, Patriots, I hope you have a very blessed Thanksgiving. I'll put the link for Miguel Afonia's work underneath this podcast. It's easier. And you can download his music for free. I encourage you to donate to support him, like all things. I think it's a blessing in what he does, but he doesn't ask for any, but do donate when you can. So, anyway, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. This is an amazing time for prayers and for our focus and our connecting with one another to building the fellowship and the strength that we need each and every day. And God is with us, and God is always there with us. He'll never forsake us. And God wins these fights all the time, but he's working through us in such an amazing way to continually be on top, to continually push us forward, to raise us up, and in the end, the victory is shared through his children. And what an amazing time that is. So I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
My heart is bleeding. The words they speak cut me like Your leaders have betrayed my trust. Help me, Lord, 'cause I will obey. I will obey. Only you can heal this brokenness. Only you can restore my soul.
Happy Thanksgiving, Patriots. God bless.